This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
We're going to start with a quiz. Don't worry, it doesn't affect your GPA, won't be graded, you don't have to answer out loud. I have five statements for you. I want you to think on each one of them. Is this statement true or false? And if you've been with me in hermeneutics, you've seen this before, but it's good review for you. So, first statement. The Bible is comparable to the inspired literary productions of men and women. True or false? Is that what we mean when we talk about inspiration? Don't answer out loud. No, that's wrong. This is more talking about natural inspiration. We'll talk about, I was inspired to write such and such and so and so. But that's not what we're talking about with inspiration. Second, the Bible is the production of superior human insight into moral and religious truth. True or false? False. Why not? Well, as one of the students said one time, there is no such thing as superior human insight into moral and religious truth. We are fallen. We have a problem with it. This is more the idea of maybe of intuition. You kind of get an intuition that such and such or so and so is true. Third one, the authors of the Bible recorded word for word the message God dictated to them. True or false? This one is false as well. We'll have to come back and talk about it. But this is what's called a mechanical dictation theory. Fourth one, God inspired the author's ideas. The authors recorded those ideas in their own words. Is that what we mean by inspiration? Is that one true or false? That one is also false. This would be a partial inspiration that says, ideas, yes, words, not so much. Fifth question, fifth item. The Bible is infallible in matters of faith and practice. Inspiration applies to those matters. Is that what we're talking about when we talk about inspiration? If you're sensing a pattern, the answer is, this one is false as well. This is another partial inspiration approach. So if all of these are wrong, if all of these are false, what is inspiration? What are we talking about with inspiration? And we're going to get at that by asking three key questions. First question, what did inspiration involve? Second, what does inspiration include? And third, why is inspiration important? What did it involve? What does it include? Why is it important? We're just going to take them one at a time and finish by 1:15. Okay. What did inspiration involve? In other words, how did we get the Bible we have today? Well, some suggest that basically the authors thought it up and wrote it down. That's one suggestion. The authors thought it up and wrote it down. Another is that God dictated word for word every passage in the Bible. Are those explanations, is either of those explanations adequate? Is that a good one? Well, let's start with the second one first. Are there passages that God dictated word for word in the Bible? Not a rhetorical question you may answer. Yes, there are. All you have to do is go to Exodus chapter 34, verse 27. You might want to make a note. We don't have time to go there now. I'm in Yankee speak now, and I'll try to slow down and be Southern. Exodus 34, 27. God tells Moses specifically, write down these words. These are the words of the covenant that I made with Israel. And so it goes on to say, Moses wrote down the Ten Commandments. He literally wrote down what God dictated. So it is true that some passages are dictated word for word, but are all of them? Well, if you're going to say that, then you have to deal with statements like 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, where Paul says, what I am saying, I'm not saying according to the Lord. Now, what does that mean? We don't have time to go there, spend a lot of time on that. But it seems like Paul is saying, God did not specifically tell me to say these words. I'm giving you my opinion. I'm giving you my perspective on these things. And if that's true, then the whole idea that God dictated word for word, every phrase, every passage, every book, every verse, probably does not hold up very well. What about the first one? That the human authors thought it up and wrote it down. Well, there you have a problem with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says that he writes, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. So he's saying what he's writing, he's not writing because he thought it up, he made it up, he figured it out, but the Spirit has taught him, has led him. So neither the dictation approach nor the authors thought it up for themselves approach works very well. And we need to look at a passage. Let's take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Turn in your Bibles, or if you're looking it up on your phone, make rustling noises like Dr. Jones encouraged us to the other day. So it sounds like we're turning pages. Because that's a nice sound to hear. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. When you get it, wave at me or something so I know you're there. Okay. Half of us are Presbyterians and afraid to raise our hands. Okay. I can say that because I are one. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Peter writes, and so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And these verses, this passage, talks to us about the process of inspiration, the process of inspiration. It basically tells us how we got the Bible we have. We don't have time. Well, we do have time if we wanted to go to 1:15, but I'll be chastised for that. Let's just focus on verse 21, where Peter makes a very strong contrast. This is a very literal, it's almost an interlinear approach. It says, not by the will of a man was carried prophecy, but by the Holy Spirit were carried men. Not by the will of a man was carried prophecy, but by the Holy Spirit were carried men. And the first half of that contrast rules out the idea that inspiration was a purely human activity. He said it earlier where he says, no prophecy is a matter of one's own interpretation. It's not that the authors came up with it themselves. Prophecy was not, the word was not carried by the will of man, but the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit were carried men. And the second part highlights the human divine process that's going on. Does that make some sort of sense to you? Not by this, but by that. Well, we could spend a lot of time here. We're just going to think about one of the words, the word that's double underlined on the screen that's translated as carried is New American Standard, New King James. It says moved. NIV, ESV says carried along, and I think in this instance, carried along is a better translation than move. Move kind of sounds like God gave him a nudge, but it's really not that. It's carried along, and you get a really good picture of that if you want to make a note to check later in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, Ephesians 4, verse 14, where Paul, talking about the difference that growing to maturity in Christ makes, says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. And there Paul's painting you a picture of a boat. Think of a boat out on Lake Murray with high winds and high waves and no motor. Where does it go? Wherever the waves take it, wherever the wind blows it. I was talking to some friends a couple weeks ago, and the guy told me a great story that illustrated this. He was talking about being in a boat with some friends in the Atlantic Ocean off Cape Cod when their engine died. And the waves were high. And he said it was just up, get up. And it started making me seasick just as he was talking about it. And he also talked about the one person every time it hit the bottom, she made a contribution to the ocean and up and down and contribution. And so that kind of thing carried along. Or you can think about it like a sailboat. How does a sailboat go? Not a rhetorical question. How does a sailboat go? The wind, it raises the sail and the wind blows it and carries along the boat. And that's what Peter's saying here. Peter's saying that human authors didn't carry along the word, but carry along prophecy, but rather the Holy Spirit carried them along. So who superintended the process? God did. And he got it exactly where he wanted it to be. But there's more, because Peter says, but by the Holy Spirit were carried men. Now, I tell my first-year Greek students, order difference Greek word no makes in. Need to hear that one again? Order different Greek word no makes in. Word order makes no difference in Greek. That's just because the subject can be at the end and the verb can be at the beginning. You can't assume the first word is always the subject. But it's only half true, because the Greeks would make a point by putting important words at the beginning and at the end. And so the second part of verse 21 says, but by the Holy Spirit were carried, being carried, spoke from God men. You catch it? But by the Holy Spirit being carried, spoke from God men. And so it's not strictly God. God uses the human authors in this process somehow. It's actually kind of a mystery, but if you think about that boat being, sailboat being carried on by the wind, that's how the authors were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So who spoke for God? The human authors did. So how did we get the Bible? What did the process of inspiration involve? Well, it wasn't mortal meditation. It wasn't the authors thinking it up for themselves. And it wasn't divine dictation, God saying, write exactly these words, necessarily every passage. It was what the theologians always have great words for things. It's by confluent cooperation. And what does that mean, confluent cooperation? Well, confluent is where things flow together. Like the Broad River and the Saluda River flow together to make the Congaree. That's confluence. What happens here is somehow God's mystical, perfect working, the work of the Holy Spirit and the human authors flowed together to give us what we have. And you can see that if you look at, say, David's Psalms and Paul's letters. Both extremely powerful, but very different in style, in vocabulary, in not in theology, but in the way they articulate things. You can see that there. Or if you take Mark and Luke and John and check them out together. I mean, Mark writes nice, solid, basic, just the facts, ma'am, Greek for the Romans who like to hear that. Luke writes very literate, almost classical Greek for his high patron, Theophilus. And John just writes simple stuff that goes extremely deep. Simple grammar, deep theology. That's a reflection of the fact that as the Holy Spirit carried the men, the authors, along, he used them as part of the process. So, what did inspiration involve? Inspiration involved the Holy Spirit carrying the human authors along to give us the Bible that we have today, that is exactly what God wants it to be and exactly what God wants it to say. The clock tells me we have to keep moving. Okay. So, second question, what does inspiration include? What does inspiration include? And again, some suggestions. One suggestion is that some of the ideas are inspired and others aren't. Maybe matters of faith and practice. Other people suggest that the ideas are inspired, but the words aren't. Again, how does that work out? Well, you start with the second one first. What about the only the ideas are inspired, the words aren't important? I have to do is go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, where Jesus says there's not one stroke of the law, not one, the smallest letter of the law, that is not permanent. Everything, every detail is important, is inspired. And also, if you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul makes his entire argument based on the difference between a word in the singular and a word in the plural. Not seeds, plural, but seed, singular. And so the idea that only the ideas are inspired runs counter to the testimony we see of Scripture that words are important. What about the idea that only parts of the Bible are inspired? Well, the first challenge that raises is, which parts? Which parts are? Which parts aren't? And who makes that call anyway? I mean, is it up to me? Is it up to you? Which is, what is inspired, what isn't? Well, if you were to take a look at Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, here's what the Apostle John says. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. And so John tells us that the words are important and everything is important. So you've probably guessed there is a passage that addresses that. Turn back a couple books to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And we'll camp there for the next 6 minutes and 59 seconds. If 2 Peter tells us about the process, 2 Timothy tells us about the product. You know these verses well. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God might be adequate, equipped for every good work. We're just going to camp on the first part where it says all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is inspired by God. Inspired by God, NIV says God breathed. It's a neat word. We got to do a little bit of Greek, right? It's theopneustos, theopneustos. You hear God in there, don't you? Theo, theos, theology, that's the God part. And then the spirit part is pneustos, comes from the word to breathe or to blow. We get the word, Greek word, pneuma, for spirit. We get the English word pneumatic. All Scripture is God-breathed. God breathed it all out. So the entire product carries the manufacturer's label on it. It carries that stamp of approval on it. And the key word is all. All Scripture is inspired. Not just the ideas, not just the parts we like, but all of it. So, what does inspiration include? It includes the entire Bible. It includes more than just the ideas, it includes the words. And it includes more than just the parts, it includes the whole. That's, again, theologians have neat words. They will talk about verbal plenary inspiration. Verbal, the words are inspired. Plenary, all of it is inspired. Verbal plenary inspiration. Everything in the Bible carries God's stamp of approval. I probably won't get in too much trouble to do this. My less reformed friends don't particularly care for the word predestination. But it's in the Bible, so you got to deal with it. my more reformed friends don't care for the word dispensation. It's in the Bible too. We got to deal with it because the very words are inspired. We had folks who don't like the genealogies. I'm not wild about the genealogies. I don't know about you. I'll be honest. I'm not wild about the genealogies. But let me show you an example. Don't turn over there. But this is just a few verses from Matthew's genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. To Abraham was born Isaac, and to Isaac Jacob, and to Jacob Judah and his brothers. And to Judah were born Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And to Perez was born Hezron. And to Hezron was born Ram. And to Ram was born Aminadab. And to Aminadab, Nashon. And to Nashon, Salmon. And to Salmon was born Boaz by Rahab. And to Boaz was born Obed by Ruth. And to Obed, Jesse. And Jesse was David the king. And to David was born Solomon, her who had been the wife of Uriah. And it keeps on going for 10 more verses. And we think, genealogies, they're inspired. Did you notice what's different? Four names you don't expect to appear in genealogies. Four women who are all Gentiles. And Matthew in this genealogy reminds us that from the beginning, the good news was for male and female, for Jew and for Gentile, for the people who seem upright and the people who know they aren't upright. From the very beginning, it's all been part of that. And that's just part of the genealogy. So all scripture is inspired. What does inspiration involve? What does it include? It includes everything. The words, the phrases, the verses, the passages, the books. It includes everything, whether we like it or not. It's all inspired. Okay, one more. Why is inspiration important? Again, 2 Timothy helps us here. It helps us because he starts out by saying all scripture is inspired. Implicitly, then, that means that Scripture carries with it all the properties that come with inspiration. There are six we're just going to run down through quickly. We don't have time to unpack them, although Dr. Beyer is going to pick one up soon, tomorrow. There is the property of clarity. You don't need special glasses. You don't need the Da Vinci Code to understand it. It's clear. Efficacy. It does what it sets out to accomplish. That's why a quotation of scripture written in a letter to my father 38 years ago, when he found that letter 38 years later, bam, scripture did what it was intended to do. So you have clarity, you have efficacy, you have infallibility. Scripture does not deceive. You have, I might as well look at them, inerrancy, there are no errors, sufficiency, everything you need. You have in the Bible authority. It all carries God's stamp of authority. This is God's word. This is God's word, and it's all inspired. That's implicit. Explicit is in the rest of verse 16. Scripture is profitable for teaching, telling you the direction you're supposed to go. Reproof, telling you when you've lost your direction. Correction, how to get back headed in the right direction, and instruction in righteousness, how to continue to move forward. You might have seen this diagram. It comes from the Navigators. It's worth stealing. I have. Teaching tells you the path. What happens when you get off the path? You need correction. You need reproof to tell you you've gotten off the path. Once you're off the path, what do you need? You need correction so you get back on it. And once you're back on the path, you need instruction in righteousness to continue moving in the direction God has for us. So why is it important that Scripture is inspired? It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then verse 17 says that the person of God might be fully qualified and fully equipped for every work God has for him or for her. So, we got all kinds of time. It's only 11:40. Back to our three questions. What did inspiration involve? Inspiration involved the Holy Spirit carrying along the human authors to give us a Bible that says exactly what God wants it to say. The Holy Spirit carried the authors along. What does inspiration include? Inspiration includes everything in the Bible. Every word, every phrase, every verse, every passage, every chapter, every book. All of it carries God's stamp of approval. And why is inspiration important? Because inspiration gives us a book that is fully authoritative and fully sufficient so that we can become more nearly every day who we already are in Jesus Christ. Fully authoritative, fully sufficient. You can trust it. You can take it to the bank. And that's why Christians are people of the book. People of the book. It is why the authority of Scripture is one of the core values of CIU. It's the reason that we want you to sift everything, filter everything through the lens, through the grid of Scripture, and check it that way. The question for me, the question for you is this one. Is the authority of Scripture one of your key value, core values? And if it is, how do people know that when they look at you? Does that core value show through in everything you think, everything you say, everything you do? Are you a person of the book? Is the authority of Scripture one of your core values? If it is, how do people know? How do people know? Let me close this in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the process of inspiration. Thank you for the product of inspiration. Be at work in us to make a difference because we believe in the authority of Scripture and because we believe that every part of it is inspired. Father, use us to accomplish your kingdom purposes as we follow your instruction book to the glory of your Son. May your Spirit be at work through your word to make your children more nearly like your Son. For we pray in his name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.